Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé Wrap-Up Podcast. That's right, second time in the same week. We are officially in two-season mode. I can't wait to talk about 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way, Season 5, Episode 1, a.k.a. the premiere today. I'm your host and conductor of the Hot Mess Express, of course, Puya Zanvakili, ready to go. And with me today, someone who we've loved having on the podcast, haven't had on in a little bit, here to break things down on the premiere. You can find her holding it down, co-hosting the Married at First Sight wrap up and the Ultimatum wrap up and the Love is Blind wrap up. Of course, all of these have a home on the Love at First Sight feed wrap up right here on the network. It is the one and only Asia Welch. Asia, how are you doing today?
Hello, I'm doing well. And yeah, it has been a minute. I honestly think the last time I talked to you about 90 Day was about Bilal the first time around. So
there's no way that's the last time. No shot. It's got to have been more recent. Right?
I think it was. Time flies, honestly, because, you know, I had every intention to watch. What's on right now? It's 90 Day.
So there's Before the 90 Days.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was all set. I even had it recorded. I was like, okay, the first episode's there. And then you hit me up and you're like, hey, you watching 90 Day? And I was like, oh, I have to catch up. You're like, ha ha ha. The premiere of The Other Way is this way. And I'm like, what the heck? They are dishing these out. But I appreciate it because I actually enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, of course. And that's the funny thing. I was like, yeah, have you been keeping up with 90? You're like, no, but I can in a couple of weeks. I was like, no. We'll see you this week. New season. Just exactly. One episode. And then you can watch the other one at your own pace. And we'd love to have you when you're caught up there for sure. But yeah, they, out of nowhere, are pushing out another The Other Way. To give you the backstory on this, the last season before the 90 Day season I'm covering was it The Other Way. So,
oh my gosh,
I think there's maybe a month and a half in between, almost 2 months in between the two seasons coming out, which is a lot. So wow. They're wasting no time. They're pulling no punches. And here we are, brand new season to talk about once again.
Where's 90 Day proper?
That's a great question. We'll see. If I have
They're
to
like,
guess,
no.
That'll be what we'll get in the fall, probably. Mm-hmm. We are getting a third 90 Day show called The Last Resort.
Yes.
Which I have no interest in covering. So that's not going to happen. I'm protecting
my
peace.
Please, the people are begging.
No one's begging for more Big Ed and Angela content. That I can assure you.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. So we don't have to worry about that. But what we do have to worry about is meeting new couples. So we got four couples here in this episode we got introduced to, with one of them being a returning couple, the lovely Kenny and Armando gracing our screens once again. And then the other three being brand new. So let's dip into the brand new with Brandon and Mary. So Brandon and Mary, if you do not remember, if you need a refresher on what The Other Way entails, audience, 90 Fiancé The Other Way follows the journey of Americans who end up lifting their life and moving all the way to whichever country their partner resides in. So Brandon is a 23-year-old from Oregon, and he has a girlfriend who is Mary, 23 years old as well, but from the Philippines. And we open the show, Asia. We open the show, and he's got her on video call, and he's unbuckling his pants. And immediately I thought, my God, this season of 90 Day, the one I'm covering currently, has been so overtly sexual. Like, we're really opening with this again? Fear not. He's unbuttoned his pants. He sits down. He's taken a number two on camera with his girlfriend. And my first thought was, I'd rather they were sexting. I do. I'd rather it was filthy. It would have been better for me.
Oh my gosh. The way she said poop. Well, you know, there's just a level of separation you need to have from your partner. And this is where you draw the line. Why is this necessary? What, especially just the reason, and I know we'll get into it, the reason that they feel like they have to FaceTime all the time, right? Mm-hmm. There's no threat to cheating when he's sitting on the toilet.
No, there is not. There is absolutely not. And yes, the reason why we immediately get introduced to them video calling and he's pooping, we learn that they are on call with each other 24 hours a day. Everywhere they go, they're never off the call. They'll even fall asleep with each other with the cameras on. And it has to do with their past. So both of them have had partners who have cheated on them in the past. And both of them are self-proclaimed clingy and self-proclaimed jealous. So this is their way of battling that by being under constant surveillance of each other.
It's like they both got just the worst advice. Like, everybody has those friends that they go to that will give the absolute worst advice. It's like, you know how you get over, you know, the hurt you went through with the infidelity in your last relationship? Get into another relationship and then just overdo it and try to overcorrect. It's like, no, what they both need is individual therapy as single people to work through that. Because no, it doesn't work.
See, I think, yeah, the solution is 100% overcorrect, right? Because clearly that is the smart thing to do. Clearly there's nothing weird about, we've been dating for over 2 years and we're basically playing Big Brother with each other.
Exactly.
It's like, no, you are forming a parasocial relationship with each other. If this is feeds, you are not making a connection. This is right. A lot, Asia, right out the gate. This was a lot that TLC threw on our heads. So the additional thing we learn is that Brandon says that they've been dating for 2 years, but he's not made the trip to the Philippines because it's about $2,000 round trip. So he can't afford that. The next scene, we see him in an RV. He lives in an RV in his godparents' backyard. He lives with his godparents. And this is where I think this was the one really heavy backstory we got this episode, where we learned that Brandon ended up getting his parents split when he was four. About age 15, his mom lost custody, so he had to move in with his dad. His mom had tested positive on a drug test, so they took him away. Then he went to his dad, and his step siblings were put in a foster home. So he lived with his dad for about 3 years. The dad was demanding and hostile, so then he booked out of there once he turned 18. And then he was living in a truck for about 2 months, kind of not knowing where the next paycheck's going to come from. And his godparents ended up taking him in. And now he lives with them, granted, in his own RV. It's kind of like having the beach house or the basement. It's like, oh, right. I live by myself. They live with me.
Exactly.
And he pays for rent by doing chores. Not a bad gig.
Right, exactly. And I feel for him for sure because, yeah, like you said, this was a very heavy backstory and it definitely explains a lot. Just explains kind of where his mental space at this very moment, right? Because that him telling this and leading us up into this current point in his life, I was like, this man is 23. This isn't like he's telling a story. He's like, yeah, like I'm 30 now and... You know, he this is a ever present thing. He's only been with his godparents for 2 years. So it's like he just reached legal drinking age 2 years ago. And then he went through a traumatic breakup right before meeting Mary. So he was going through all of this while in a relationship. So there's nothing that tells me that he knows or is able to like have like a healthy relationship because it's just always been packed with the struggle of what he was going through. So I'm like, oh, Brandon, my guy.
He's going through it. And now obviously all of this background and the abandonment that he must have felt through not only with his mom, with his dad, and then now with, you know, the ex. He is in this relationship and that's where his clinginess comes from. That's where his insecurity comes from. Then we flip the script and we meet Mary. So Mary lives in the Philippines. She lives with her grandparents because, and her older brother and her wife and kids live nearby. But she lives with her grandparents because when they were very young, pretty much right out being born, her parents ditched them. And now she's living with her grandparents. Yeah.
She was 8 months old.
Exactly. Like not even a year in. She has lost her parents and now she's with her grandparents, but also her boyfriend, her ex, cheated on her a bunch. So now she has, and she mentioned at one point, she said that I don't want to feel unloved and I feel unloved. And, you know, I need things to work out with Brandon. There was a quote in this episode where she said, if things do not work out with Brandon, I will become a nun and give myself to Jesus Christ. Yeah. And she is full committed to him. We do hear she has 8 tattoos and about 2 or 3 of them have Brandon's name on them. So,
and not like a B. That would be subtle, cute, not like you don't have to commit. No, she has Brandon 5-18-20. Like as specific as you can get. She's like, I gotta meet another Brandon that has the significance of May 18th, 2020. I get it. I get the commitment. I get you want to go all in. But 23.
Listen, as someone who has the initials of his wife tattooed on him. Okay. I have one tattoo.
You even have initials.
I have initials. I don't think I'm going to have to change them anytime soon, yeah. But that's one tattoo. And I was not in a relationship that was like this. This is a very, like, to me, this is two broken people, two people who have dealt with a lot, who have gone through a lot and are now in a position where they legitimately love each other so much that they're not getting sick of each other, which is lovely to see. But also they don't trust each other because what we're learning is that we get a scene where Brandon's going to the dental hygienist. He's getting his teeth cleaned. Okay. And we find out on the walk there that, yeah, Mary doesn't like when Brandon talks to other women. And this is very similar to the Gino and Jasmine story back in the early days where Gino was at the restaurant picking up food and Jasmine had an issue with that. It's very much that.
I've seen a clip with that. Yeah.
He cannot talk to other women. Point blank, period. He cannot do that. So, of course, he gets to the dental hygienist. He gets there to get to the dentist to clean his teeth. The dental hygienist is a woman and she seems very nice. She was, you know, he was like, can I put this phone here so that my significant other can see us? So, yeah, that's fine. And then she asks him, she says, well, how long have you been dating? And then says, is this your first love? And he says, no, it's not. And she starts crying. The hygienist leaves the room and he's like, Bobby, does he say Bobby? He says, it's interpretive endearment. I'm assuming it's like baby, but he pronounces it a different way. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what's wrong? And she says, you told me I was your first love and you lied. He's like, no, what she meant by first love was like first relationship. So I said, no, but of course you're my first love. Of course. The tears, Asia, the velocity to which these tears came out right after he barely finished that sentence. It escalated quick. This is a lot.
Yeah, like two things. If you're this dental hygienist, I don't care who it is. You say no filming allowed. No filming. And she's like, what about the kid? Nope. We allow TV cameras. We don't allow FaceTimes. But it was just like so unnecessary for her to be there, for one. And then for two, just this is like true Big Brother live feeds. He legit forgot she's listening. Because how are you going to contradict what you told her? Come on. You talk to one person 24/7. You can't keep up with what you've told her.
How do you not know? Yeah, that's a great point. How did you not know that this was going to get misconstrued? Because y'all only talk to each other. Your phone at this point is basically just a FaceTime app. I'm sure you don't have other apps on here, right? Like surely at this point.
Right. I'm concerned about their battery life. Like, my phone can't handle a 2-hour FaceTime. Like, I can't. And it's not because I have an iPhone, Puya.
Did I say anything? You're the one that brought it up. I heard that you were anti-Threads because Spill is the true app because only people on Apple can get it.
I've said no such thing. I actually have not been on Spill since Threads became a thing. Honestly, Threads girly.
Yeah, this isn't a tech podcast, but I truly do think the minute Spill came out and Twitter was doing the limits, Threads was like, we need to move now.
Yeah.
And exactly. Kind of jumped in a little half-baked, but they're doing well. People are jumping over. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Once we get DMs and hashtags, it's over.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And a good search bar.
Yeah. Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's about all the tech you're going to hear here, aside from the fact that, yeah, I don't know what kind of phones they have because the battery life must be incredible. They must be invested in either the portable batteries or they're just perma plugged in at all times. One or the other.
Right. Exactly. I mean, because I can't even think about like you can even go on trips with family and there's going to be a certain point where you reach your limit. Like, all right, we've been together way too long. And even when you live with your significant other, Puya, you can attest to this. Could you imagine if you and Liana were just like face-to-face 24/7?
On like a call?
Well, I even feel like it's more like it, because I mean, even living together, I mean, you know, she goes to work, mm-hmm. you go do your things, like... I feel like that it's just that it's not conducive in any type of relationship, especially a romantic relationship. But I think even if it was just friends or family, like it's not sustainable.
No. So I'm someone who I'm very comfortable talking on a phone. I don't mind phone calls as long as it's with people I like. Yeah. I can talk for hours. I used to in high school, 6-7 hour phone calls like that. No problem. Mm-hmm. That being said, the call ends at some point, yeah. right? At the very least, the call ends when someone's snoring on the other line. It's like, all right, good night. Let me save the battery. Maybe I want to scroll Twitter or whatever we were using back in the day. But, you know, it's done. It's done. And to me, these two are not done. And it's funny because I just talked about this on the other 90 Day podcast. I had mentioned that when I first moved in with Liana, we were in peak pandemic, lockdown, small apartment. And we were together 24/7 all day. Like she's working, I'm in the background. I'm mm-hmm. on a call, she's in the background. On my computer, she's right there. I'm eating, she's right there. So we eventually got to a point where it was like, I had said this on pod, when I would go to the store to pick stuff up, it was like a nice little break. Not mm-hmm. in a I'm sick of you way, but in a just a right. change of scenery, little breather, little breathing space, you know, giving each other space is very important in a relationship. There's no space here. This is full suffocation. It's full suffocation from both sides.
Absolutely. And I mean, I was absolutely flabbergasted when we dive into her meeting her friends.
Yeah. So, okay. So there's two different timelines here. We meet her friends and we learn more about Mary, indirectly Brandon as well. So when we flipped the script and we went to the Philippines to hang out with Mary, we already talked about Mary's backstory. So Mary had the phone up and Brandon was about to go to sleep because again, the time difference is also a big factor here.
That's what I looked. I I said, wait a second. I didn't even think about the time when he, I think it was when he said, okay, I'm going to go to sleep. Don't hang up. Bed.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a second.
It's 12 hours.
It's
Eastern 12 time.
12 hours.
Yeah. Eastern time right now. It's 6:40 PM. It's 6:40 AM in the Philippines right now.
Oh my. And he's in Oregon. So that's even, is it a bigger time difference? I'm not a time zone expert.
Well, that's the thing. Let's say, because when he went to sleep, it was clearly still the like daylight there, afternoon.
Right.
So even at the absolute latest, he goes to bed at 4 a.m. It's still 4 p.m. for her.
Yeah.
Right. So he is going to bed and he's like, don't hang up though. I want to like, you know, I want to see you dance. And so she's like doing some little dance. We do learn that she used to do competitive dance. She was in a competitive dance troupe. So she's doing a little dance. I would describe this as probably like a little choreographed TikTok style dancing while he's going to bed.
Did you peep that like her introduction was a TikTok dance?
I did. And I was like, you're 23, so I'll let it slide, but I'm cringing a little. Yeah.
I was like, we've reached that point where
like the dice the roll, really, very, really the dice roll here.
Yeah.
What's funny is now when I see some of these dances, if there's no music to it, I think of the music I associate with the TikTok dance.
Yes, yes.
So I immediately thought of that same song that has that because the dice roll, then it's the hearts. I hate that I know this.
Yeah.
But, you know, you some things you don't forget. So she's doing a little dance and then he falls asleep eventually. She unplugs the router to the internet in the house and tells us, yeah, so, you know, when Brandon goes to sleep, sometimes I'll unplug the router and I'll tell him that we had a power outage so I can go hang out with my friends. And I don't want to tell him I'm hanging out with my friends because they're guys. And I thought, you hypocrite,
yes!
You are hanging out with these three boys that you've known since you were a kid. So it's completely legit and you should be able to. But he can't talk to the dental hygienist who is literally cleaning his teeth.
Oh my God. The way I kept flipping sides, like it was more
coaster.
In the right. Yes. I was like, girl, at first I thought, oh, I'm like, poor girl. She is so just like obsessed with him that she's just jealous of every living, breathing thing. I'm like, no, it's the pot calling the kettle black. And you know exactly what you're doing. The worst part here is she is being so intentional about this. Like she is intentionally turning this router off. He's existing in life and like interacting with other people that happen to also like to be women. And she's jealous. Whereas she is intentionally being, deceptive. It's just like, girl. And you don't have to be, but this clearly shows that the fact that he's been mad before in this situation, that there is no trust. So what do y'all have?
This is the thing. There's no trust, but they've pretty much the way they've made this relationship. This is what has happened. They have literally piece by piece removed every outside element of each other's lives so that they're just left with each other. And now they're super dependent. One without the other has nothing. Absolutely nothing. We learn here that Brandon didn't like because Mary was going to college. She had the competitive dance team and then she also did modeling. Brandon didn't like that she did modeling. He didn't like that she did dance, made her stop both those things. And because she stopped dance, she lost her scholarship and had to drop out of college.
The way my jaw dropped, I was in absolute disbelief. And I was back against Brandon. I'm just like, are you kidding me? How do you not want the best for your partner? How do you not want them to live their best life, especially y'all aren't in different places? Why aren't you supporting her? And that's what she's good at. That's what you can do. What is wrong with you?
I was baffled, Asia, baffled to hear this. Like, this is too much because this happened on the heels of. So we meet her friends and her friends seem very fun, incredible. I loved seeing them. I can't wait to see them interact with Brandon. It's going to be great. But one of the friends in confessional said, I feel like Brandon asked more of Mary and is more jealous than Mary is. And I thought, there's no shot. There's no shot. Then we heard this. And I was like, yep, no, Brandon's the more jealous one. They just really fooled us in the first half. That's what I'm getting. That's the energy I'm getting here. We also learn that after she got hurt by her ex, she went into the dating apps because she was like, I want to find, you know, an American, and I met Brandon, and he, you know, he reminded me of Harry Potter and Justin Bieber, so I loved it. And I thought, okay, well, that's British and Canadian, so that's not American. And the producer calls her out, and she says, yeah, here, British, Canadian, American, they're all American to us. It's just America. I was like, oh,
okay,
cool.
Like, okay, that's the explanation. I'll accept it.
I mean, it's like, I want to, some people will be like Canadian equals American, American equals Canadian. And obviously not where we live, because in North America, everyone's like, no, no, we are different.
Yeah.
But on the outside looking in, I feel like a lot of people kind of put them together. Did mm-hmm. not expect British to be in the mix, but hey,
just lumped it in. Mm-hmm.
Mary said, you're one and the same. We said, okay, Mary, that's your words, not our words. Okay. Right. So also the friends were talking about how, well, you know what they say about Americans? They got a very big heart. And then in confessional, she says, yeah, they told me that Americans have really big penises, and I'm a little nervous about meeting with Brandon. She is a virgin. This, we do learn this.
Yes. A Catholic virgin. He's never been kissed.
Exactly. And I thought, I'm not making any judgments on any penal sizes here, but I wouldn't lose sleep over it. You'll be fine.
It'll I also don't think it's a, like, even if you're just thinking, oh, that's a statistic about Americans, there's no way you can think that all men are the same.
Right.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
No, I mean, you're not wrong. I'm, you know, listen, I am a journalist first and foremost. So I did, I did open up the world data for the average size.
Mm-hmm.
And American is not the biggest, obviously.
Is it obvious?
I mean, I scrolled and there was a lot more countries past it. So mm-hmm. for that reason, I would say obviously. But hey, again,
word
of mouth.
Who's number one?
Who's number one? According to this, Ecuador.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, top five is Ecuador, Cameroon, Bolivia, Sudan, and Haiti.
Wow.
Yeah. Learn new things every day on this podcast. Don't say it's not educational. Canada, way higher than the US on this too.
Wow.
Yeah, because I was going to say, if Canada or the UK are high, she's like, well, America, same thing. All right.
Yeah, cool. Exactly.
Okay, so back to the non-scientific portion of this podcast. So the one other big thing we see is we see the last scene with them, and we are now a week away from him going to the Philippines, and he has invited his mom and siblings over to hang out because obviously he wants to spend time with them before he leaves. And this is the first time we meet his mom and we meet his siblings or his half siblings. And this was a very informative pizza dinner.
Absolutely.
First of all, Asia, he said, oh, I ordered two pizzas, but I guess we got three. I was like, I wish that accident would happen to me.
I know.
Which
you
world?
Know what? I actually just ordered a pizza today for lunch. You know how many they brought me? One.
Boo! We want that Oregon pizza where they exactly. give you an extra one for free. And it was a Domino. So why is that? Our Domino's are slacking. That's what I'm learning here.
For real.
Yeah. So he gets the pizza. There's, you know, he brought them all over here to hang out. And Mary's on the call. Of course, Mary's on the call. But we find out, oh, Mary's muted. And we find out that Mary mutes herself in conversations if she's upset or doesn't want to say anything that will cause anyone to be upset. So she basically, when she's angry, which I thought,
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Just hang
because
up.
Because you're just still there. Yeah. It's like the person in the group chat who just doesn't talk. You're still reading. I don't want you reading if you're not going to contribute.
So listen. Don't call me out like that, because I'm kind of that guy. This is me, right? I will read the messages, and if there's somewhere where I should mention or say something, I will. I'm not going to just leave it on read.
Mm-hmm.
More often than not, someone will be like, what do you think of this? And then four people will respond, and then I'm the last one there, and they've already talked about it. So I'm like, do I go back and reopen the convo? Nah. Sometimes I'll throw a voice note in there because it's more authentic and it's like, I clearly care.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this. If I'm in a room chilling with people and there's someone who's kind of not engaging at all and also looks upset, let's factor that in as well. I would feel uncomfortable to talk in that room now.
Yeah.
Because Someone's clearly just here judging or not happy. And it's like, I don't want that. That's not what I'm here for. So Mary's on this call. They're all very well aware that Mary's here. We also learn that they are very familiar with the rules that Mary has put down. Because yes. So to update on Brandon's mom is now 1 year sober and clean. She has roommates that she lives with. And, you know, she's getting back up. She's getting her life going well. And, you know, she's trying to reconcile with the kids and you know, have a good life going. I'm very happy for Brandon's mom. And then meanwhile, we meet the two half siblings who are young, but my God, let these kids cook. They knew what they were talking about. They were giving Brandon advice that Brandon should be giving them. And they were giving him good advice.
Little Steph Curry's sitting at that table.
So good. He was so good. Okay. So in the conversation, it's very evident to us that the mom and the half siblings all know about Mary, have all been dealing with Mary's the issues that Mary has brought into the relationship. Mm-hmm. Mary fully has just said they don't like me, so whatever they say doesn't matter. And they were very clear, at least to me in this conversation, that they have no problem with Mary. They think the relationship is toxic, and I don't think they're wrong either.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that being true. Like, not they don't like, she's a fine person, but y'all together is not good because of the lack of trust, the insecurities you both have. Mm-hmm. So that was a very mature thought from the three of them.
Well, here's the two instances that we are enlightened by to give us the backstory of why they have issues with Mary. So number one is Brandon's mom lives with roommates who are women. So he can't go see her at her apartment because she lives with women that aren't his mom. Wild.
Just the absurd. Second.
Yeah. The second is the half sibling. What was her name? If you have,
oh, I didn't
down.
Get her name.
So I don't have her name either, but she's like, I think maybe 15, 16. I don't think she's like that old, or is she older? I'm not sure, but
teen sounds right. For some reason, I do have the brother's name. His name is Jaden, but I didn't get the sister's name.
Oh, that's bad. That's bad on us. But, you know, forgive us. It is episode one.
Yeah, still a queen.
Yeah. So she was saying that, yeah, you know, what was weird was when you came over for Christmas and we were cooking something and then you had to leave because she wasn't happy with either I was there or that you can't come visit us because maybe my friends will come over is weird. And I thought, yeah, absolutely weird. Again, this is where I still fall a little bit. You're being a hypocrite because you have three guy friends that you're hanging out with. This is all family at the very least. So
exactly.
It's not like he has friendships with his mom's roommates. He'd be there for the mom anyway.
Right. You see, because I don't even want to take up for Brandon because it's just like, this is,
he's done a lot
of
the as
school
well.
Thing was awful. Right. Like, I feel like absolutely. That's the worst of the worst in their relationship because that has lasting impacts. If they do break up, she still has to deal with the fact that she had to drop out of school and lose her scholarship, right? Okay, so I feel like even with the hanging with the opposite gender, like even with some, like her friends that she's been friends with for a long time, I think there's that natural insecurity that he could have. If I put myself in his shoes, there's a natural insecurity that he could have thinking like, oh, they've, you know, why haven't they ever tried to explore more than that? Like, I would think if they're such good friends, maybe they could, like, maybe they have dated in the past or whatever. But then if that's the insecurity he has for Mary to say, no, these are just my best friends. That's where it should, you know, like if there were actual trust, mm-hmm. but there's not in this situation.
Right. And anytime it comes up in this conversation and earlier, Brandon's like, yeah, when we move in together, when I move there, we're going to stop this and it's going to work out. It's like, how? You've had no practice doing this. There's been zero trust. She has to unplug the Wi-Fi in the house to leave without the phone. And you cannot get your teeth cleaned without your phone. Like, you can't, Asia, he cannot go number two without the phone there. Like, do you understand how awkward that feels to me? I feel like when I'm in the bathroom, ain't no one needs to see that. First of all, no one should want to see that. Second of all, and third of all, just let me do my business in peace.
Right. Like, why is privacy not a thing? Like, that it is a thing. Like, everyone, I think everyone needs privacy, even if it's just to sit in your own thoughts. You need privacy at some point. So it's like, for them to think moving together, that's going to fix everything, right? Yay, happy, we're great. We're going to be able to, like, nothing's going to be wrong. The fact that we find out that they fight all the time, I was shocked. Because I can't remember if they mentioned this after or before, but he was like, my biggest concern moving in together is that we fight every day. I'm sorry, Brandon, what?
The fights are coming, okay? That, because you add all this, you add the new elements of living together in a shared space. Mary is very, gets very, what's the word I'm looking for? She cries very quickly.
At the drop of a hat or pin, whatever.
That quite often. And he has to now also go through culture shock, which we have David and Sheila in the other season right now, where David has gone to the Philippines to meet Sheila for the first time. And he's going through his own culture shock. I'm sure Brandon's going to have culture shock, time difference. Everything around you is different than what you're familiar with. There are so many obstacles that he's about to go through. And I don't think he's ready. And I don't think he's calculated any of that. And I think it's very evident when Jaden is the voice of reason. When Jaden, the youngin, the little boy who probably only eats cheese pizza and no other toppings, when he knows
more. You're calling out Jason Reed right there.
You stop it. Jason Reed does not only eat
he's a chicken finger guy. So I would imagine with pizza, he's like a cheese pizza guy.
I'm going to shoot him a text right now and hopefully we get the answer on the pod, because I will fire on him. I will go in, Jason. You better be putting toppings on there. I mean, listen, cheese pizza is great. We can all agree. But if it's the only one, no. Right. Okay. So, yeah, I think there's going to be a whole world of hurt for these two. I think they're both being toxic. I think you can measure them and see who is more toxic. And there's definitely ways to calculate that. But I think they're both bad for each other. They love each other, which is absolutely important in a relationship, but they are causing so much hurt and so much division in every other aspect of each other's lives that I just think it's not a good relationship.
Yeah. I mean, Jaden, he said it best. He was like, you are choosing Mary over the family. And I just feel like things are just going to go crumbling when things fall apart with Mary, because now he's going to be left with no one, because he literally is choosing her over them. And then the fact that they say they're in love, my biggest concern is, what do y'all truly love about each other? You fight every day. There's no trust. You feel like the only way to trust the other is to have your eyes physically on them 24/7. Mm-hmm. And then what's going to happen when Brandon gets to the Philippines and he's like, oh yeah, what happened to those like rolling blackouts we have to worry about?
Wait, why is the internet so good? What's happening?
That's crazy. It has not happened yet.
Well, I will say he's asleep at that point, right? So this is what will happen. They disconnect the call. He's asleep. And then he wakes up to like two missed calls from her, right? And then he calls her back and he's like, what happened? Oh, the power went out. Oh, okay. And then they move on. So maybe he doesn't think about it, but we'll see. I think ultimately they're not ready.
No.
They are not ready.
Nothing about them makes me think that. Mm-hmm. I would love for them to be just young and in love and just like they're getting right off into the sunset and it's going to work out great. But we got so many red flags in just our short meeting of them this episode. I'm very interested in watching the rest of the season just to see how they're going to play out.
Yeah, listen, young and in love is great, but then you have to have reality with the situation as well. I had a long distance relationship that is now my current relationship, just in person, permanent. And the long distance component was vastly different to even vacations and then permanently living together. Mm-hmm. Like, I also had a bit of culture shock, but not that much, because I went from Canada to the States, and also there's a lot of similarities, but there were still little differences that I felt that I was impacted by. And this is going to be way bigger. And it's way bigger of a move, because you're going in having had no research or understanding of what you're signing up for.
Yep.
These kids are not ready, Asia, and we'll learn more about them in the rest of the season. For now, let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll introduce you all to Holly and Wayne.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
What does Colgate mean by live life to the brightest? Could it be a rich glass of red sipped inside a Parisian cafe on a snowy night when my gaze is met by a tall, mysterious... I mean, brushing is directed with Colgate Optic White Pro Series Toothpaste gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 3 days, so you can live life to the brightest and finish that glass without worrying about teeth stains. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. What flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
All right, let's get into the Holly and Wayne of it all here, Asia. Holly, first of all, we get this opening B-roll with her where she's talking about Rapunzel and the actual canonical story to Rapunzel. And I couldn't understand why until I saw how long her hair was.
Yes, and the way that I was actually taking notes of how it's like, okay, Rapunzel's boyfriend was blind. And then I'm like, wait, what's the point of this story?
I was like, I thought I missed the scene. And I was like, wait, who is this? Is this still the Brandon and Mary scene introduction? Because I don't know who this is. Yeah. No, it's Holly.
It's Holly. She's 44. She lives in Utah. She's a barber, though.
She is. She's been a barber on and off for 5 years. She mentioned that, you know, she initially started working on women's hair. After 2 months, decided, nope, they're too picky and they have issues with it. Nope, I'm just going to be a barber. It's easier.
So, what does she have against women?
Good question. I don't know what that was about.
I was like, instant red flag.
Yeah, So here's the bullet points on Holly. Like you said, 44, Utah, mentioned that she has ADHD, and then mentioned that also part of her traits, her personality, she gets bored easy. She moves quickly. She was homeschooled growing up. And if you want to know what you mean by bored easy, moves quickly, she's been married twice. First marriage, 2 months. It lasted 2 months. Then they broke up, got divorced. Second marriage, she got annulled after 12 hours.
Yes.
12 hours.
I was like, Holly, you cannot just move on from some facts like this. I need to know how long you were with these people before you got decided to get married. Because what about marriage itself made it last like the snap of a finger? Because maybe she moved that quickly. Like they met, they were together a month, decided to get married, and then didn't work.
It's a great question because I have a deeper relationship with an Amazon delivery that I'm waiting for that I'm not going to see in 3 days. So how did you move that quickly? And what happened in those 12 hours? That's what I want to know. Yes. What happened in the 12 hours that you were married? We need stories.
Yeah, because what? Okay, let's see. If you got married, let's say you'd have to get married at like 8 a.m., right? In order to try to have it annulled by 8 p.m.
Before the business day is over.
Right? Because if you got, they didn't get married in that like early hours in the morning, but if it was at night, what happened overnight, right? first order of business when the court hall opens is annulling this marriage.
These are great questions because, yeah, they got married, let's say 8 p.m. and then they divorced 8 a.m.
Right.
This first thing at the door, first people to be at the office. I don't know.
Yeah, they had a bad night.
Yeah, not a good night there. So we learned that, okay, she, after the annulment, after all this, she decided that I want to date, I want to travel. Let's combine the two. So this is how she meets Wayne. Wayne is 40 years old. He is a plumber in South Africa, correct?
Yes, he's a licensed plumber. So exactly. He's like, his little package made him look very legit.
Yeah, no, he's got a good plumbing business going. I like the banter that he had with the person whose house he was working on, because the person at the house was like, coffee, you don't take sugar, right? He's like, no, I do take sugar. Hold on. Who have you hired to work here before me? Are you cheating on my business, ma'am? I like that. That was a fun bit of banter there. But no, yeah. Everything we learned about Wayne, I liked from the start here. They had the two of them met on a Jehovah's Witness dating site, and they met up. And then within 3 days of being in person, he proposed to her. They have dated a total of about 6 months.
Let's not forget that when he proposed, she ran away.
No, he proposed by this fountain, and I guess it was a lovely gesture. Then she got spooked and ran, and then he chased after her, and then she immediately said yes. So give us context. What did he say when he chased after her? How long was the chase? Was it a block? Was it just like 5 steps? I need more.
There are some plot holes.
There definitely are. There's a lot of holes in the story, and I need them today. But anyway. We learn, okay, so they've gotten engaged, and that's all good. But we find out that Wayne doesn't like American culture and does not want to move to America. So she has to move to him, and she has agreed to these terms.
Yeah, she is set to go to South Africa. I don't know. I think this is interesting because I can understand, but I can, if he has a disdain for American culture and she is American, I feel like there are a lot of things that come with her that does he dislike, or is he hoping to like that changes once she gets to Johannesburg?
I don't know is the honest answer here. Yeah. It's interesting with these two because he mentions that, you know, America, not for me, you for me, you come here. Okay, cool. That's all going to work out. She's agreeing to go there. But at the same time, I feel like these two are also moving very quick. They have, now granted, she has been in South Africa. She has visited him. They have met in person already. So it's not a blind item. But there are security concerns because the last time she was there, they got robbed. They lost everything. And then while she was gone, he got robbed again. So the robbery, that crime stuff, I guess it's happening a lot more frequently than she would have known. And she mentioned something about how when there's a power outage, there's no security. So crime happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And so imagine her telling her loved ones about this.
Yeah, like, of course they're going to be opposed to you going and are going to have safety concerns for you. Of course. Right,
exactly. But one thing I was really puzzled about was, like, we know this trip happened, but she did say they've only spent 1 week in person together. So that trip was only a week?
I believe so.
And she's only been once.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Just once. That one time was enough to, I guess, make it permanent. So...
Right. She went for a week. He proposed 3 days in. She was only there for a couple more days. She came back and he's never visited America.
That's it. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
He's like, all right, I'm done. Yeah, you're coming here. Okay, cool. All right. Sounds good. And obviously, we always need to have a skeptical friend. Sam is the skeptical friend and coworker of Hollies, who does talk through all this stuff with her. And then we move over to when she's about 2 weeks away to moving in or moving there. And they're on a Zoom call outside somewhere. And they're talking about how they're really excited for the wedding. And he's like, I'm ready. I'm excited for the honeymoon because they've never slept with each other, Asia. So they're going to, they've not been intimate like that. And they will be after they get married. But also, her mom is going to be traveling to South Africa and living with them for 3 months, which...
Not one, not two, three. A whole quarter.
Yeah, 90-day fiancé's in-laws. Okay? That's what's happening. I guess they're talking about, because they're going to go down the little traditional here. She's going to kind of be the chaperone, make sure nothing happens. But 3 months is a lot. I mean, 3 months, this is the first 3 months they've lived with each other ever, or have lived in the same country ever. Right. I feel like adding mother-in-law is a bad idea.
Oh, absolutely. That I feel like she should go spend some time there once she's acclimated. Maybe once they're married, if they plan to do it quickly, then she can come. But I see her mom's worry, like, okay, I want to make sure you get there, get settled. This is a new place. I want to come there and be with you. Maybe come and, you know, stay somewhere else or see if there's another accommodation that he can have for you. See if Wayne has a friend or if Wayne knows a great hotel nearby, because the fact that they're going to be staying in Wayne's room and Wayne is staying in the guest room. Absolutely yeah. not.
I truly feel like this is going to go sideways very quick, because Wayne tells us that he's not talked to Holly about this, but once they get married, mom got to go.
Yeah. What happens if that's 1 month in?
Yeah, she's moving. They're getting married a week after she moves in.
Yeah.
So,
lack of communication there.
Yeah, that's like 10, 11 weeks less than what she's planning. Right. Which, here's the thing. I'd much rather be told earlier, because if I book tickets and make plans for a trip that I believe is lasting 3 months, and then a week in, I'm told I got to leave, I'm not leaving.
I know. Flights have to be rebooked. Like, come on, Wayne. It's a little inconsiderate.
But also, doesn't seem like communication's a strong suit here for these two right now.
Right. Yeah. I'm mostly concerned about just the length of their relationship so far. Like, I understand. I do truly feel that they do have strong feelings for each other. I get that vibe when they talk to each other. And I don't doubt that they are like in their honeymoon phase right now. I just worry about, and I think they're really hanging on to like the fact that they share this Jehovah's Witness beliefs. So I just worry what it's going to be like once they are actually, because they're just going to actually really get to know each other. So, you know, it's unknown what they're going to learn about each other that's going to like really show them who they are, especially the fact that we know she's able to get divorces. So I don't know. I'm worried a little bit.
Yeah, I really do feel like these two of the four couples we've met, I think that Brandon and Mary are the absolutely gonna go sideways couple. Mm-hmm. I think they're next on that trajectory for me, but it's because we don't know yet. I feel like we haven't seen enough of the two of them interacting together to feel like that's gonna be that big an issue. Mm-hmm. But this is bad. Like, immediately, I'm gonna not tell my wife that I want her mom gone after a week. Is not good. Also, my wife has very big worries about security issues, which also in this season on of it all, we did see a moment where I guess either someone broke in or something happened and she had a lot of stress about it. So I think this issue is not going to go away either, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. That was a little jokey joke. Maybe he really didn't mean it, that her mom has to leave.
Yep, she got to go, at least for now. All right. And we are also going to go and move over to the next couple here, we're about to get introduced to Julio and Kirsten. Okay. So Julio and Kirsten's story is very fascinating to me. Julio is 27 years old from New York. He is a school safety officer by day and a DJ by night. I believe DJ Wiki.
Was it DJ Wiki? Wiki, Wiki, you know?
Wiki, Wiki. Yes, yes. There we go. He grew up in the Dominican Republic and then he moved to the U.S. at about 8 years old. And, you know, growing up in the U.S. was tough for him because he didn't know the language. He couldn't understand his homework and he was made fun of as a kid a lot for it. So then when he hit 18, he traveled for the first time. And since then, he has traveled to 28 countries and he loves traveling. He loves getting to see the world. Traveling kind of opened his eyes, and this is his words. Traveling opened his eyes to the fact that if you don't like your living situation where you are, you can make a new life somewhere else, a life that you were looking for elsewhere. And through traveling, he has met Kirsten, who is from the Netherlands.
Hey, I have gone to Europe once last year for a 2-week trip. Amsterdam was one of those stops.
Yes.
And I absolutely loved it. So like because I went to Amsterdam, Paris, and London, and Amsterdam was by far my favorite. Just for multiple reasons. So I get it, Julio. I get it. It's amazing there.
Why do I feel like a however is coming in?
Right. There is a however coming. Only because his excitement, I don't know what it is. He really reminds me of Jabri.
Mm-hmm.
Just like acting on vibes rather than like thought processes. Like, hey, I'm going to sit down and consider like, okay, we should do these things because of this, weighing the pros and cons. I think he just thought, hey, it's cool here. I should live here. And hey, maybe people can live on vibes. And that's totally fine.
I think there's people out there that definitely live on vibes. I knew this guy back in university who just lived on vibes and then dropped out and continued living on vibes and is still living on vibes and, like, you know, doing well for himself. So good for him. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's for everybody. And I definitely do see your Jabri comparison a little bit. But I would say that just based off this episode so far with Julio, I feel a little bit more confident in him and I have more faith in him than I ever did with Jabri.
Yes, for sure. For sure. For sure. I would say only in that way. I definitely do have more faith in Julio and even in their relationship as a whole.
Yeah. So he meets Kirsten, but he kind of had a almost catfish moment because the first couple of months that they were interacting digitally, the first 2 to 3 months that they talked, they never FaceTimed. They never voice called. They just texted until he goes to Amsterdam to meet up with her. And this was during the pandemic. So they had to isolate. So they met up and stayed at a hotel for a week. And that's how they got to know each other. So for all he knew, he could have pulled up to that hotel and he was getting catfished and would just have to sit there for a week with a stranger.
Literally. Why would he do that to himself? That's not like a, hey, okay, I'm gonna travel for 2 hours. You are going across seas and you're just taking this huge risk.
Lucky for him.
But for what?
Yeah, lucky for him, Kirsten was not catfishing him. Kirsten is from the Netherlands. She is Dutch. And we learned that she didn't want to do FaceTime with an American because she was self-conscious about her accent and didn't want to, you know, sound different. So they don't do the FaceTime, but it worked out. She's beautiful. He's handsome. They got together. They, you know, stayed the week. It was awkward at first, but then it got comfortable and they were good. Everything was good. And then since then, they meet up about once a month. So that's nice. We know that she has come to Miami and like come to the States, to Miami specifically, and like they've hung out there. And then Julio went to Amsterdam for 2 months and just lived with her. So they kind of did the trial living together as well, which is why I like and feel good about this couple. Mm-hmm. They kind of tested some of the waters, right? They've gone there, they've gone here, then they lived together there for 2 months. And now she's coming to New York for a month to be with him before he moves permanently to Netherlands. He has applied for residency and that's the plan. So all of these sound like a very well-adjusted man. He knows what he's doing. She knows what he's doing. She's doing. Everything's good. However, there's the element of his mom. So he is a big mama's boy and him and his mom have only had each other while he was growing up. And we just learned about this backstory of how he didn't like school. People were mean. People were making fun of him. He had mom, and mom had him in this country. Now, he not only has not told his mom about Kirsten until 3 weeks ago, but also has not told his mom that he plans on moving and leaving her permanently.
And for them to be so close, like, that's just not, that's not the move. I just feel like he should have been slowly but surely dropping hints. The fact that when he went there, she thought he was there for DJing. Come on.
Yeah, he lied and said it was for DJing. And that's the thing for me, is that not everyone's that very close with their family that they'll give them the play-by-play. These two are clearly inseparably close, mm-hmm. right? So for me, seeing that he's not told his mom, like, yeah, your mom's going to feel betrayed because you didn't say, you kept it from her. And you clearly don't keep anything from her. So this is sketchy. And mm-hmm. this is not going to do good for you and your dreams of my mom and her get along perfectly. Because she might resent and blame Kirsten for this, because your behavior was not different till now.
Yeah, exactly. So it's only setting her up for some type of disappointment, because mm-hmm. her mom or his mom is going to think, oh, this is the woman that is stealing my son. That is, like, you know, my baby boy. Because right. she would think that even if she were in America, with how close they are, you're just always thinking like, this is her, right? Like, she's obviously going to be a little bit more skeptical and just really evaluating her. So you want to make sure you give the best impression. This is already starting off on the wrong foot.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. And then he's at his mom's place for dinner, and they're talking a little bit, and he's like, yeah, you know, I'm dating someone. She's like, yeah, you told me about it a couple of weeks ago. What's her name? Kirsten. Kirsten, yeah. Well, I don't know her name because you didn't tell. You just told me, so that's your fault.
Exactly.
And then when he talked about, you know, it kind of started coming up a little bit that he might move, she was in tears. She was not ready. It was so bad that she basically said, if you don't want me to be sad, live here. Convince her to live here with us and not there.
Yeah. It's like, so there we go again. She doesn't know that the motive is that he wants to live there. He's like, it's not even that she doesn't want to come. I'm the one that wants to live there.
Right.
And so and he's at the point now, is like, how do I tell my mom that?
It's bad. This is bad because, like, he also, I guess, hasn't made, like, to us, it's very clear that he doesn't want to be in the States, right? He's ready to move on. He says that in his vision, he starts a life elsewhere. But I don't think his family, his mom specifically, knows that. I don't think he's made any indication of that ever.
Right. And I don't think she would. His mom did not strike me as someone who would have been just so against him doing that if she knew that that's what he truly wanted. She seems like she just wants the best for him, whatever that is. And so if he were just like, hey, you know, along the way, like, oh, okay, I could see myself living anywhere in the world. And if he had been open about the fact that they had met and that, you know, he was falling in love and he could really see himself there, his mom would have definitely come around. And she seems like that's her motive, or that's her motivation, is him being happy.
Yeah, it's absolutely both sweet and heartbreaking to see this interaction. I hope, you know, they're both happy. I hope it works out ultimately. Now, Kirsten, we do meet. Like we said, she seems great. The one thing I noticed is she kept calling him Julio. And then little did we know, she will explain what she means by that.
She's so glad she did.
I know, because I thought, how do you, I'm sure maybe, maybe it's the accent that's preventing it. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And then she said, no, I understand that, you know, the name is pronounced Julio, but he likes being called Julio because it sounds more exotic. Julio.
In what world?
My man, Julio is exotic. Julio already is exotic. It's built in. So I don't
know. It wasn't enough for him.
I guess not. So that's what we learned there. But, you know, she's calling him what he wants to be called. So that's good enough for me.
She's like, getting... just call me John.
I am John now. Right. So she gets ready. She makes her way to the States and he gets to the airport to pick her up. And then the episode ends on a, quote, cliffhanger where... she's at customs. They're holding onto her passport and they're, I guess, asking her questions. She says that they're treating me like a criminal or something. And she's very nervous, anxious. She hangs up and he's like, oh, this is already a bad spot. If like, you know, I'm questioning things because if she can't even get out the airport, how is she going to get along with mom? I was like, shut up, Julio. Like, I listen, as someone with an Iranian passport, I have dealt with plenty of airport badness. Okay. Mm-hmm. She'll be fine. I think the number one thing they look for when you pull up, if you're not on a visa that's a permanent one, for example, the 90-day visa, you're living here, like the plan is to live here permanently. If mm-hmm. you indicate that you don't know when you're returning, or if you answer questions in a way that makes it seem like you're staying there longer than you are supposed to, they'll flag it up. They'll clear it out, but they'll flag it up. So I remember I had a friend of mine who he was a British guy who was backpacking around, and he had ended up making a stop in Canada. And then his plan was to go to the US. So he stayed with us for a couple months. And then I remember saying goodbye to him. He goes to the airport. I wake up the next day and he's on our couch. I was like, I thought you left. So he said, no, he got to the airport. And then they asked him how long he was going to be there. He said, I'm just traveling for, you know, leisurely. I'll be leaving vaguely. He said, like, I think a month, 2 months. He didn't like specify. Mm-hmm. Then they didn't like that. Then they went through his phone, saw that he had deleted messages, which also was kind of sketchy to them. They thought, OK, this backpacking kid is going to try and stay in the U.S. You're denied entry. So he couldn't go. I don't think they're going to have an issue here. I think she told us it's a month. So I think it's very clear that there's probably a return ticket and everything should be smooth. Everything should be fine. I think this is just TLC trying to squeeze out that sweet, sweet drama for something that's going to be very non-dramatic.
Yeah, the fact that they only showed him waiting in that one spot with the flowers, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, she's probably, yeah, it's not going to be much longer. Because no, if it were like, oh, he went back home and
right.
he doesn't know what's going to happen. That says like
8 hours later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
no, this is going to be fine. She answered her phone. So like, it's not like she was in a bad, like she called him. I don't think there's an issue here. I do think with this couple, I think their biggest issues are going to come from Julio and mom and like their relationship and not mm-hmm. so much Kirsten. I don't really see Kirsten causing any waves, at least at the moment.
Yeah, I agree. She seems like a sweetheart. I think that their relationship doesn't seem like it'll be the issue. I think because even him saying that they were fast tracking or them being together was like fast tracking their relationship. I could totally see it. We see it on Big Brother all the time.
they were staying together for a week, really, like, you know, because you have nothing else to do but to hang out and get to know each other. And we've talked about how a relationship in the Big Brother house gets magnified and like times five on speed because you're literally there together all day with no distractions.
Yeah.
So I'm rooting for them. I really hope it works out. I think there's a lot of potential here, but we'll see where we go from here with them. And last but not least, one couple to talk about here today, one of two returning couples. However, this couple you're all rooting for, I'm rooting for, we love the other couple, not so much. But for now, let's talk about Kenny and Armando are back, Asia.
They are. And I kind of was happy to see them, but then I was reminded what the experience was like seeing them last time, where they're the couple that everything's fine and they have one issue that they're going to continue to talk about each segment that they've kind of compromised on, but the show is going to make it seem like this huge issue. So I was like, oh, okay, that again.
Well, here's the thing. These are definitely... Their problems are definitely very, very not an issue. And also it makes for easy podcasting because honestly, yes. This segment's going to last like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
We saw two scenes with Kenny and Armando. Their big storyline is that Kenny wants to move to the city, wants to move to Mexico City, wants to be in that environment. It's more diverse. It's more open. There's more there. They have more access to grocery stores and amenities and everything's nearby. Whereas Armando likes where they're staying, which is in La Misión, which is a smaller town. The closest grocery store is 20 minutes away. Hannah's school is 45 minutes away, but it's safe. And it's there's no like factors that they need to worry about. That's the big issue. So they found a compromise because, of course, they are the healthy couple. They have compromised to take a bit of a vacation, about a 2-month trial to move to Mexico City and see how it goes. So they've gotten what I can only imagine is probably an Airbnb or like a month-to-month lease on a place. And we just saw that. We saw that. And then the other thing they talked about was potentially having another baby, having a child together. And this is a storyline that is continuing from last time where Armando really wants them to have a child together. Kenny is a little bit hesitant because Kenny is 60 and says, you know, at my age, I kind of stopped thinking about this stuff. And then Armando just wants to make sure that if they're looking at options, it's not because Kenny feels forced. And Kenny says, well, I'm kind of doing it for you, but no, I don't feel like I'm being too forced. Again, the most well-adjusted couple is on a show where nothing is like that.
Exactly. Because then I was trying to see, okay, the fact that Kenny is living in Mexico with Armando, I was like, oh, come on, Armando, be a little bit more flexible. But then I thought, it's like, if my boyfriend was from somewhere else and from a different country and came to America and was like, hey, I really want to live in Oklahoma, I would also be like, no, I'd rather stay where I am. So I get that, especially the fact that we learned it was 5 hours away. Cause I was thinking, come on, Armando, be a little bit more flexible. But the fact that they are going on this test move, I was like, that's already further than what another like toxic couple would have done. They would have just said a hard no, and they never would have even tried it out. The fact that they're trying it out, they're going to learn so much. They're going to be fine.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is just the classic case of a person in the couple who lives a city life and the other one who lives more of a quiet town life. And that being a bit of a, I'm not ready. I don't want to do that. But however, I think they're going to be fine. I think every 90-day season needs a couple that everyone can get on the same page and root for. And in the midst of all the chaos that's around them. But I will say for this season, so far we've met four. Brandon and Mary, red flags abound. Holly and Wayne, I think red flags pending. Julio and Kirsten, red flags barely visible, and then Kenny and Armando, green flags all around. That's really what we are.
Yeah, I would say, because what's a little like a yellow flag with Kenny and Armando is the kid conversation. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder, I think even though Kenny is like, no one in her 60s is usually having a child, I think that Kenny might budge in order for Armando to be happy. They don't have to have three kids. I could see them going for one. And I think that Kenny would be fine with that.
Yeah. So before we wrap up here, because we're almost done, I want to break some news here. I did hear back from Jason. So I messaged him and I said, what's your go-to pizza? And he said, if we talk in delivery, Papa John's extra sauce. And I thought that is the weirdest response, because who says Papa John's extra sauce like that's a pizza? So I said, so just extra sauce? He said, pepperoni for me. I'm a basic when it comes to pizza.
Oh my gosh.
Pepperoni with extra sauce.
Extra sauce.
I've never heard extra sauce, you know.
I haven't either.
Extra cheese, sure.
For sure. I wonder what that really does for it. Extra sauce. Because, okay, I'm very happy that he did say pepperoni. I'm impressed. I'm not surprised there are no vegetables.
You're not surprised there's no vegetables?
I'm not surprised. No, he's a chick. We've talked about it at length that he's a chicken finger man. Like, that's where, give him some chicken fingers and some fries, and he is a happy guy.
I see.
But now I know pizza with extra sauce.
Yeah, Papa John's extra sauce, mind you. specifically. But Asia, that does bring us to the end of this podcast. Thank you so much for coming through and talking to me about this season. I think it's going to be a good season. I really enjoyed this episode. And I hope to get you back on either this podcast or before the 90 day when you catch up. But till then, where can people find you? What are the projects you have going on? Let them know.
Yeah. So I'm kind of like in my podcast summer, one would say. We just wrapped our coverage of Married at First Sight season 16. So if you enjoy 90 Day Fiancé, you 100% would enjoy Married at First Sight. And I cover that with Jason Reed, who is always a great guest over here. And then I do have an interview coming up with Tiff from The Ultimatum Queer Love. Mary, Evie, and I are getting back together to interview Tiff to talk about their time on the show. So very excited about that. So that should be dropping towards the end of this week. And then, yeah, just slowly waiting for the Big Brother season to start back in on August 2nd. And until then, I'm just going to try to enjoy some good shows, just some, you know, watching for pleasure rather than talking about them.
Well, thank you for that, Asia. Always a lovely time having you on the pod and looking forward to the next one.
Oh, yeah. And everyone can follow me at everywhere, including Threads at Asia Like Asia.
Perfect. Easy enough to remember and to follow. There we go. So he said, pepperoni for me. I'm a basic when it comes to pizza. I replied, phew, okay. Word on the street, you pretty basic in a lot of places. I emoji. And then he wrote, lol, I see you've been talking to Asia, comma, lol. So he started and ended the sentence with lol. But bookends. He bookended with LOL.
I cannot.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, we'll leave you with that. You can find me, of course, on Twitter at Puyaism, on Threads at Puyaism, on all platforms at Puyaism, except for Twitch, where I am, twitch.tv/Puya. That's where you can find me when I'm not podcasting. I just talked about 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 Day with Sasha. That is up and available. Maybe you listen to this first. I don't know. And other than that, I did do the Big Brother off-season draft podcast last week talking about best non-winners. So you can check that out. And I was also on episode 2 of Claim to Fame's recap with Rob and Jenny, which you can find on the network. And other than that, I've got no other podcasts going on right now, but we're about to get into Big Brother season, so it's going to ramp up. Oh, I will say this as well. I did do a Challenge USA season 2 draft podcast. Ooh. Over on the Dom and Colin Network. Yes, with nice. Matt Scally and Kirsten. Not awesome. Kirsten, Kirsten there. Yes.
Yeah.
So we drafted, this was a couple months ago, but the cast dropped today, so you can check that out. I'm sure it's going to be out when this gets released. We appreciate you hanging out with us. We have arrived at our destination here on the Hot Mess Express, and I'm looking forward to talking to y'all next week. But until then, take care. Have a good one. Bye.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.